Would you turn to Matthew 18, verse 2 with me as I read? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea."
The second reading is from Colossians 2:8. It's on page 1833 if anybody wants it. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ.
Good morning. Thank you to my readers. For those who don't know, those are some of our kids in college right now. They're really great kids. I refer to them as kids because I've been working with them since they were in about sixth grade. I've been their Sunday school teacher since then. So I've really been able to watch them grow up in their faith and see them come into true maturity of that. And I wanted to reflect on a topic of growing up to become a child of God. I just passed my, past week was my 33rd birthday. And I have to tell you, I don't feel old. The only time I feel just like those kids most of the time. I think I can do anything. I'm good. I have energy for the most part, except in the morning. Morning has changed. Past 2-3 years, I get up, I sit on the edge of my bed, and I get up and everything cracks and pops back into place. And then I start my shuffle to get the morning. You know? And I think to myself, where did that energy go? Where did it go? I had it forever, and I could just leap up, jump out of bed, start the day, go 13 hours and nonstop, go to sleep, do it again. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to become drained. And I'm saying to myself, where's that draining coming from? And I think it's coming from the factor that as we grow up and we become adults, more responsibility, more pressure to be responsible, more responsibilities throughout life. And it starts to drain us a little bit of that initial energy we had as children. And you know, it's interesting because we work so hard to become grown-ups. At least I did. You know, you wanted to become a grown-up. You wanted to be seen as a grown-up. But being a child is such a great thing, you know, and nothing to look down upon. Jesus was so true of loving the little children. He was very positive of this. I want us to look again at Matthew 2-6. That'll be the next slide. And if we look at the verse, he says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me." Christ celebrated children. And he celebrates us when we come to him as children. And that doesn't mean literally as children, but no matter what place you come to Christ as, from what I've observed, is whether you find Christ when you're a very small child or you find Christ in adulthood, when people take him into their hearts, all of a sudden there's an exuberance, a joy, an excitement. And all of a sudden you're excited again and you're, there's even innocence in people again because you have found the thing that fills your heart with joy, and that's Christ. And now we have earned that, and by accepting him, we've earned our entrance into heaven. We've humbled ourselves to that place. I want you to think about the first time you were excited about church. I don't know when that was for you, but I know when it was for me. If you'll please go to the next slide, I have a few pictures. Behind you is pictures of my youth. I want to thank Barbara Estelle for finding them for me, going into the archives, so to speak. And this is my first time I was in ministry. I was young. It actually started at age 6, and I became part of the music ministry. Singing was a gift I had, so it was something that I explored. And then as I grew up into the choirs, I grew up into, in my years, we did youth plays. So that was another place of ministry. This was a true joy of mine. I never at that time felt tired or felt like church was a burden or felt like I didn't want to be here. I wanted to be here all the time, probably too much. But I loved it here, and I loved the feeling I got when I sang out to people. And it was the first time that I felt my calling. And I felt that way for a very long time. But as we grow up from children into teenagers and young adults. And so I did. As we become teenagers and young adults, a lot of time this is a time in our life where we begin to explore outside of what we initially know. Because we want to explore the world. And I did. And as I explored the world, that world led me outside from these walls and into the world itself. Some of it was in high school, and some of it was in the beginning of college. And it's interesting when we start to become part of the world, and all of a sudden, it's inconvenient to come to church. I speak for myself, but I was about 17, 18, and all of a sudden, it started to become inconvenient to come here on a Thursday night to sing. I didn't know why at the time. But I was like, no, I just don't have time. I'm tired. Sunday morning would come and 9 a.m. would come and my father would be getting ready to go to church. He'd be like, you coming? I'd be like, nah, I'm tired. Why was I tired? I wasn't physically tired, actually. I had, like I said, I had all the energy in the world back then. But I was spiritually tired. Something was draining me. Something was pulling me away from that initial excitement. And as I look back, I look at a verse which speaks light to that of what was pulling me away. Next slide, please. If we look at Colossians 2:8, we have a verse and it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual force of this world rather than on Christ." As I began to grow up and explore, I fell away from Christ. He was there. I have a term I use with working with the youth a lot. I say, I put Christ on the back burner. Christ still burns just as strong as he ever did, but I'm not letting him near me. I had him back here, somewhere behind me. And I'm letting the world influences burn me instead. And instead of being empowered from within, I'm being burned from without. And that was causing me pain, and it was making me tired. A lot of times people will use the term burnout when they become involved in too many things, and I think sometimes it's because we're not letting ourselves be Christ-led, but world-led. We can be world-led in this church as well. It's just as much a part of the world as anything else. We're just as much sinners here as we are there. And you know, we have to let Christ be the center. And there was times where I felt so heavy, heavy laden at that time in my young adulthood with the sins I was committing. I didn't know it at the time, but I didn't know what to do with them. And I stepped away from here and I stepped away from everything. And as I stepped away from here and everything, I did carry on with reading my Bible. It was something it was the one comfort I had. And I found a verse, and it was part of the scripture today. It's on the next slide. And it says, Matthew 18:6, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Now, when I look at this verse, what I look at is my sin, or those who led me to sin. You know, those people, those things. I will be very honest with you and tell you I had a large problem with alcohol. And it was one of the sins that kept me very tired spiritually. And other things kept me tired spiritually. And friends who were not those of Christ, but those of the world, who drained me spiritually. So what did I eventually do? I went to the Lord for forgiveness. I actually came right to this altar, and I sat right there. Right over there on that, right there on the edge. It was dark. It was not during service. I happened to work here, so I was able to come in. And I sat here in the dark. And I felt the lightness of God touch me. And I felt the millstone fall from my own neck and go into the depths of the sea. And with it, the sins of this world I left behind. We have to let them go. We have to sometimes let people go. We can give them back to God, but we have to get them from ourselves. For those things that drain us are the things that keep us from keeping God from that internal flame that is within us. That child excitement can come back. It comes back when we become children again to God. When we become His children. When our focus is on Him and Him alone. Jesus has very simple teachings. And I think the gospel is simple for a reason. It's because that's what we need to focus on. When we're children, we have simple lessons. And the reason we have those is so we can understand. And I think sometimes we get jaded in our lives and we don't want to make it simple. We want to overcomplicate it. But we shouldn't. We should come back to Christ. As I came back to Christ and I came back into this church somewhere in my mid-20s, I started to focus back on what should I focus on to keep my strength. In the next slide, there's a verse that I have always clung to when I'm looking for an answer. How should I act? What should I do? It comes from Philippians 4:8, and it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think of such things." This is where I try to keep my mentality as a believer of the faith, keeping it as simple as possible. And that helps me in my ministry. Now, my ministry has changed. I do sometimes sing and do those kind of things. But my ministry has changed. Now I am a Sunday school teacher with children. I find I like to work with high school students. A lot of people say, oh, that's a hard age to work with. That's my favorite age. The reason being, that was the age I faltered. I like to be there for them at that age. I like to hope that God works through me and I can speak to them and hopefully get them over to the next part of their path. I can say from experience that I was very faltered, so I hope that I can help them and help them get there quicker to the right side of God and stay there. And that's why I like to work with them. The other ministry that I've taken on recently is midweek worship on Wednesdays. It's right now a very small service, but I'll say this. I feel the initial excitement I felt as I started here in my music ministry when I was 6. I can't wait to be here for that, and I can't wait to share it, and I cannot wait to share it with anyone who will come. So I do invite you all out, because I think it is a time where I feel God's presence the most. And I don't know why that is, but I do. And I urge you each to find where your ministry is, because I feel that ministry, no matter what it is, it can be anything from singing in the choir to folding bulletins, to going out and seeing people in nursing homes. It can be anything. Whatever it is, let it be joyous. Let it be exciting to you. Let it be right and pure and lovely what you do. Because I think if we do this, then I think we can keep that excitement of being a child of God. To conclude, I have a song. I'm a singer by nature, as I said. So music speaks to me the clearest, and I hope it speaks to you. The song is The Heart of Worship by Matt Redman. It's a song we've sung here in church many times, but I will say that there's simplicity in the song. It's about apologizing to God and letting him know we're not worthy of him, but so thankful that we can get back to the base of what he is. The heart of worship, the thing that matters most, which is Jesus. That it's about him and not us. And if we can keep that focus, I believe we can keep the excitement.
It's Thank you.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Melissa Jetson's been here for a very long time. When was the first time you were here? 1989. All right, she was young. but you know, as the youth director here, that's so encouraging to me. And I know that some of our kids are helping out in the kitchen right now, serving others. And I want to tell you, listen to my voice, pretend it's the voice of God. You are next. You are next. Be prepared, because God wants to use you too. Okay. So again, thank you, Melissa, for that word from God. That was awesome.